On imom.com, we share ideas, insight, and inspiration. We do all that here too, by sharing the best kind of stories, mom stories. We're all at different ages and stages, but one thing we have in common is that we're striving, and sometimes struggling, to love our children well. It's the iMom Podcast. Welcome to this week's episode of the iMom Podcast. I'm Abby with Chloe, Susan, and Megan. And Megan is sharing this week's story, but to back up a few months, she actually inspired me to write an article about this topic because one day in our little conversation in here, she said, I feel like I'm always letting someone down. She said she didn't feel like she was being a great mom. She didn't feel like a great wife. She felt like she was kind of missing the mark in some places at work. And so the article I wrote was called, I'm Always Letting Someone Down. It's actually featured in the iMom Minute today, our daily email. So if you're not getting those, make sure you click the link in the show notes. But I was a little bit worried about the title because it was, I'm Always Letting Someone Down. I was worried that the title was going to be confusing to readers. Like, would they know if it was a mom speaking or would it maybe be a child who's speaking, thinking they're disappointing mom? And so I sent out the title to three moms on our staff. And I said, if you saw this title, what would you think the article was about? And the response made it very clear that the article was needed because one of them said, I think it was about me. And the other one said, I feel like that every single day. So, Megan, you're not alone, but why do you feel like you're failing as a mom?
Yeah, I was talking to some friends about this the other day. I think it's just because our time, or my time at least, is so divided right now. I have a newborn and a three-year-old, and then I'm working full-time, and then I'm also a spouse, but I feel like, you know, I'm always trying to do everything all at once, and I want to be super involved in my three-year-old school and be like class mom, but then I also want to do well at work and hit my goals and be a good manager and make sure that we're moving the needle at work. And then I feel so bad for my husband because I feel like he's basically an afterthought, which it shouldn't be like that. But it's like, you know, the other day it was like a week before his birthday and I was like, oh shoot, like he's turning 35 and I have nothing planned. My newborn had to have surgery. So it was kind of like all consuming with him. And so it's just kind of, I feel like I'm spread really thin, which I don't like. I don't like that. I like to do things 110% and do it really well. I'm not a perfectionist, but maybe a little bit. And so I just feel like I'm never doing anything well. And so I feel like it's always kind of letting someone down. I want my kids to, you know, engage and learn things and teach them things and take them to do fun things and make memories. But at the same time, it's like, I'm working and I need to hit my goals and yada, yada. So I was talking to some friends about it and they just felt the same way. You know, on top of that, it's just dealing with the logistics of everyday life can just be really tough.
Do you feel like you'll ever feel like you're doing enough?
Well,
or do you know what that feeling might feel like?
I mean, hearing you say that to these other, you know, ask those other moms about the title and then feel the same way, that doesn't give me much hope. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that's what I think maybe when you and I were talking about it, I was like, does it get better or am I always just going to feel like this and I need to let it go?
Right. So question to the group then is why do you think moms feel like they're not doing enough even when we're going nonstop, when we're working, when we're trying to, you know, have a good meal on the table at the end of the night, when we're trying to help our kids? Why do we still feel like it's not enough?
Because it never ends. There's always more to do. Mm. There's always more as a mom. Could you have done more? And I think that's the hard thing, is ever feeling like you checked it all off.
Yeah. See, what Megan said that kind of struck me, the thing that sort of, I'd say, you know, triggered me when she was explaining what she was feeling, is when you said the thing about being involved in James's school. Because I think it's like whatever we feel like, maybe wherever we think we're falling short is where we're extra hard on ourselves. You know, like I can't be the homeroom mom. I can't work and be at school and be the homeroom mom. And Susan, when I hear you talk about like being the team mom and bringing the cookies or doing whatever, I'm like, that's where I say, wow, I'm just falling short, because that is the area I can't give any more time to. And so maybe it's that we are constantly looking at where we are not the best, mm-hmm. whatever category we're not excelling at, and we ignore the areas that we're doing just fine.
So like for me, my house is never perfect. Mm-hmm. That's where I fall short. I'll volunteer, I'll do that, but my house is never any given day.
Do you think social media makes it worse? Like Megan having a newborn and a 3-year-old and feeling that pressure already. Were you in that same boat when you had, you know, small children, Susan?
So when I wrote The Passionate Mom and when I, you know, we did the Mom I Am test, yes, it was back then. So I think to a certain extent, this has not changed. I do think social media, just the whole Pinterest and everything you can look at that looks even, you know, before if you wanted to see a really beautiful house, you had to buy a magazine. Yeah. And if you didn't buy the magazine, you didn't get that picture of a beautiful house. Now on Pinterest, you can see all kinds of ideas of things you're supposed to be doing.
Well, and I think like you said, your house isn't perfect. It's not, everything's not in its place. And then you put it in its place because you find the thing on Pinterest and then the next trend comes up. And so it's like, we're always chasing the trend or the ideal because it's being presented to us all the time.
Or we're chasing, like you said, what we're not. So if my house is never going to look perfect, I need to just let it go. But maybe I'm good at volunteering. Mm. Or, you know, you're the mom whose house always looks great. You can have people over more than I would. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to be the one to volunteer. And that's what the Mom I Am is going to touch on in our next episode mm-hmm. is maybe we need to focus on what we are good at.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, I think also maybe we could get better if we redefine how we measure success, right? I mean, we think that maybe success is being the mom that volunteers for everything or having the perfect house, but or having the child that gets straight A's, you know, maybe that's not the definition of success.
Actually, yeah, there's a really great article that does really well on social, and it's 8 signs moms are doing great without realizing it. And they're just easy to miss signs. And here are a couple of them. So one is that you're exhausted and that's because you're waking up in the middle of the night to take care of your kids, mm-hmm. no matter, you know, what age that could be. Another one is that you make mistakes because you are teaching your kids real life. And then the one after that, I love it's your children make mistakes because they're human. And it goes on, there's 8 of them, but it's just a really, I don't think it's a coincidence that that article does really well whenever it gets discovered, if it's on social or any other way, just because I think these moms are really needing that encouragement that these signs are showing that you're doing a really good job as a mom.
And they're all things that you can't necessarily post on social media. You know, there's not a picture of yourself feeling guilty about, you know, wanting what's best for your kids, right? Right.
It's almost like in looking for that article, they're looking for a way to grade themselves. Like, yes, please give me a sign
yeah.
to know that I am doing the right things because all I see are the signs that I'm not.
Well, yeah. One of them that I found really interesting, and I'm not a mom yet, but I struggle with guilt a lot in my life. And one of the signs is you feel guilty and it's because you care, you want the best for them. And that's not always easily discernible. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm sure that mom guilt, it plays a big factor into, you know, this feeling that you're talking about, Megan.
Chloe, I totally agree.
Well, there's also an article about the 8 things that our kids say that prove that we're a great mom. So, and I think those are also pretty eye-opening. Like when your kids say that's not fair, you know, you might not think you're doing well if they're complaining. But by saying that's not fair, what they're basically communicating to you is that, you know, you're not giving in to everything. Your life isn't fair. You're not giving them everything that they think they deserve. You know, I mean, that's a sign that you're doing just fine. But it's not the perfectly manicured house or the straight A's or all those things that we tend to measure success with.
Well, and I think, you know, I was talking to my husband about it because I feel like usually once a week I'm upset about something I didn't get done or where I feel like I'm failing. I don't feel like guys feel like that. Maybe that's a sweeping generalization. But do you feel like any guys feel
no,
like?
No, they don't. I don't know why. I don't know why, but they really don't.
I know. I wish I had a theory on that, too. But I agree. I don't think that. I just don't think guys overanalyze stuff as much. For example, we have this term called like mom fails. Oh, this is a mom fail. And it's stuff like, like I've gone for an entire day and realized my kids didn't brush their teeth yet. I'm like, oh, mom fail. A guy would be like, cool, man, go brush, you know, but for me, I'm like, what is wrong with me? Why am I not doing better? So I think that there's just something that we take it personally. Everything that they do or don't do we take personally. We also take their successes personally. You know, we see their wins as a reflection of us, or I do at least. So,
I totally do. James met his teacher yesterday and I like really want her to like him and him to be like well-behaved and everything like that. And she complimented him yesterday when I went to pick him up. And I was like, yes, like I'm doing great. But I'm like, why am I taking a three-year-old's behavior as a personal win? That's like the furthest thing.
Maybe it's because we as moms are expected to teach them manners and things like that. That's a little bit more on our job description.
Yeah. I remember when I took one of my boys to preschool, like to meet, it was either his three-year-old teacher or his four-year-old teacher. And she asked him, you know, what's your favorite thing to do? Or what's your favorite toy? It was, what's your favorite toy? And he said, my iPad. And at the time, I don't even think he had an iPad. Aww. It was like a brand new thing for him to even be on it for a minute to watch like PBS Kids or something. And I just like hung my head in shame. And she was probably laughing at me because I was like, or your Hot Wheels or like your Bible. Come on, kid. Make me look better here. But yeah, I think we just take everything so personally, unfortunately.
So is it one of those things that, you know, I'm just going to have to try to get over? Or I mean, like, what am I supposed to do? Just not take it, not be so hard on myself. But at the same time, it's like, what do? How do you?
I always think sometimes it's better to take it to, I don't know how to say this, but I feel like God gives us the kids who need us as much as he gives us the kids we need, because our kids end up keeping us humble and teaching us things we never thought. And at the same time, you know, your child was given you as a mom for a certain reason. Your child may not need a mom like your best friend or like their best friend's mom. They need you. Wow. And so whatever oddities you have about yourselves or weaknesses or strengths, that's the relationship that was intended. And maybe just take pressure off ourselves to know that at the end of the day, did I at least connect with my child? I get, you know, they're not starving. They got dressed today. They made it.
This was a little funny side note that I saw the other day. I don't know if any of you follow Trey Kennedy. He's a comedian, but he did this video. It made me, Susan, you made me think of it when you were talking about your house being perfect. And it was this hilarious video about him imitating wives when like a husband says people are coming over and they're like, frantically cleaning and like, and it's like, you know, it's actually him imitating the guests when they walk in and the guests pointing out like the most ridiculous things that no one would ever notice, but like you're frantically trying to fix or clean up or whatever. And I just thought it was hilarious because that is me. I'm like, why am I looking at the paint chipping 20 minutes before someone's coming over? Like, that's not going
to
be fixed.
I need to hire a painter.
That ain't going to be fixed before they get over. I like told Hampton one time, I'm like, we're having people over Friday. We need to like landscape the backyard. And he was like, okay, that's definitely not going to happen.
I'll tell you, I hosted Thanksgiving one year, like after I moved into my new house. This was like over 10 years ago. And that was like the fire I needed to have lit underneath me, though, to like finally get stuff put away and where it needs to be. Absolutely. So occasionally that works out well, as long as you have more than like 24 hours notice. Yeah. I needed that for sure.
I have to say, I just heard a story today that might be an encouragement to some moms. There's a mom I known her for years. We met through what I do at Family First, and she was struggling with a really strong-willed son who at the time was 4. Well, the story that was shared with me today is so she's been struggling with this because she's not a strong-willed mom. And so she just was always questioning, how did I get this child? Because I don't know how to do this. And he is 13. And so the story that was shared with me today was that they had to make a tough decision about some things he was involved with and pulling him back. And he was going to have to give up a sport that was important to him. And she said he took it with just maturity, with acceptance. And she said, I thought, oh my gosh, this is a taste of what I've been missing, but this is her journey with him, you know? But just that there was like hope, like, okay, I've been working on this for 9 years now. Yeah. And finally I see. And I think that's a hard thing about moms too. It's, you know, sometimes the journey is long.
Right. That's what I was going to say. It's Megan, maybe it's like seeing this as a long game. You know, it's a marathon.
It's a long game.
And every day, if you look, if you measure each day, you might be able to point out all these failures, but you probably forget about most of them in the end.
Well, she and her husband are celebrating this win because they feel like it is. Okay. We must have been doing something right because we see success. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Megan, the article that I that you inspired me to write that comes out in the I'm a Minute today, well, the day that the podcast releases, some of the ideas, it's about, you know, not feeling like you're measuring up as a mom, as a wife, as an employee. And some of the thoughts, like to maybe answer your question about like, what do I do? One thing that Susan inspired was to use a habit tracker. You know, if you write down the things that you want to accomplish and then you actually check those boxes, you might notice that you're doing a lot more than you think you are. Yeah. You know, like if you want to pray for your kids every day and then you check those boxes and you look back and you go, gosh, I prayed for my kid every day for 30 days. Or I sent my husband a nice text every day for 30 days. It's having that proof in front of you that you're actually doing what you want to do.
And what I love about that, at least it works for me, is that you're going to have bad days. And so if I actually grade myself at the end of the day, but I'm okay if I get a D because tomorrow's a new day.
Yeah.
Instead of that mom habit of accumulating all the things we do wrong in our head and never really seeing what we do right. So I love that because you can have a couple A days and you can have a couple fail days and they all even out to a C. It's okay.
I think too that part of the reason that a lot of moms today feel like we're failing is that there's just a lot of noise. I think that we have a hard time, speaking for myself, I have a hard time with silence. Sometimes being alone with my thoughts makes me a little bit anxious. But if you have this like nagging voice telling you you're not enough, filling that void with more noise is not going to help. It's just going to create more chaos. So of course we love podcasts, we love music, we love all those things, but sometimes you have to look at how do I feel after I finish listening to this thing? Or even if it's like a book on an audiobook, a book on tape, most people put it on tape, you know, if it's an audiobook, how do I feel when I'm done with this? Do I feel more calm? Has this helped me? And if it's not helping you quiet a little bit and find some calm and some peace, then I think that that's something that maybe needs to get cut out.
And not just escape, because I feel like sometimes I can go down a rabbit hole of just escape, like you said, where I'm not really at the end of the day. Was it a waste? But did it help me? No.
Yeah.
It didn't.
And I used to struggle. My previous job, I struggled a lot, kind of, Megan, with what you said about, you know, I'm not getting everything done that needs to get done. I had two big titles and I was like, I'm not doing this job to 100% and I'm not able to do this job to 100%. And I'm also struggling at home as a mom. So like, what is wrong? If we ask for feedback at work and your boss, because my boss used to tell me this, he'd say, no, you're doing a great job. You're doing more than I expect you to do and you're doing a great job. But I was not willing to accept that answer. So like, if you ask for feedback at work and your boss says you're doing enough, you have to believe him. You know, we have to kind of allow ourselves, maybe be easier on ourselves and accept that we are human and we're getting done what needs to get done.
So when is a time in motherhood that you feel like you are doing a good job?
That's a great question.
One of the moments.
Mm. Well, I think my friend had one, you know, today that she shared. I think you have to look for them and you have to. Nobody else is going to give you a pat on the back. You got to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. So you have to be willing to say, oh, so excited about
this. Yeah, that's so true. Like allow yourself to feel proud of yourself and acknowledge that. That's good.
I know I have examples of like things that my kids have said or done that make me feel like I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
I should write them down like you just said because they're hard to remember.
Oh, sometimes. Put them in a note on your notes app. So when you're feeling like a failure, you can just open it up.
My child said this. They did this. They used their manners today when they're little. Any little thing is great. I will say, having older kids, my kids know that my love language is words of affirmation. And they have all, at different times, written me notes. And I love that.
Yeah. You know, last year for my son's 10th birthday, I gave him a letter that he opened in the morning. And it had like 10 things I want you to know. And he came in the like after he read it, he came in and he had tears in his eyes because he read like the one point that I said something about like, you know, someday you're going to not want to hold my hand or not want to be as close to me. And that's okay. It's fine. And it's normal. So he had tears in his eyes and he mentioned that point. And I think that was maybe one of those moments for me. Like, he knows I love him. He knows we have a special relationship. And so, like, you know, I think little moments like that, all the discipline, all the other stuff is just other stuff.
It's, yeah. Which that so reminds me of Pillow Talk. And Megan, you could probably explain Pillow Talk, but the books aren't called that anymore. We changed the name. What is the name
for
now?
Ask Your Child. Oh, For Me to You. The journal.
I wrote the book and I can't remember the name. For Me to You. But that's something I started with our kids was that it was a note I put on Megan's pillow because I had noticed something that she had done. And it was as I was dropping her off to school and I didn't want to forget to just praise her for it. And she wrote me back. Aww. And that started that conversation that we actually turned into journals of questions that you go back and forth. And so many really sweet kind of mom encouragement things came out of those journals.
Yeah. I just exchanged because we made bookmarks for ours that, you know, flip around and says, your turn, Mama. And the other side says, your turn, Liam, or your turn, Graham. And we just, my older one and I just exchanged the journals a couple nights ago. And the question was something, I think the one we just did was something like, what are your strengths and weaknesses? And his strength, he said something like, I'm a hard worker. And what was his weakness? I don't know. It was something funny, like I care too much, you know, like one of those like bad energy questions, you know?
I'm too hard of a worker.
Yeah, exactly. I tell the truth way too much.
And there's a For Me to You journal for boys and for girls.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes for that as well. And you know, one last thought. I think that part of the reason we put a lot of pressure on ourselves as moms is that we want our kids to think we're perfect. You know, we have these unrealistic expectations for ourselves. And we think that if our kids see our weaknesses, that maybe we won't be as credible to them when it comes to, you know, knowing everything or the right discipline or whatever. But if we allow our kids to see our weaknesses, we give them permission to accept their own, you know. I think obviously the timing and the type of weakness is important, but, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with our kids realizing that mom makes mistakes and that mom is human. Okay, how do you fight back against the voice in your head that tells you you're failing or that you need to do more? You can email us through a link in the show notes because we'd love to hear from you. That's also where I'll put a link to the habit tracker, to From Me to You journal, all the articles we talked about. And if you want to get great articles like those, be sure to subscribe to the iMom Minute. And thanks for listening. All right, I have to warn you, once you start browsing our printable section on imom.com, you're gonna become addicted. Our printables are so cute, but they're not all style and no substance. They're great for getting organized, forming good habits, and of course, loving your family well. We have lunchbox notes, calendars, prayers, scavenger hunts, chore charts. I can't even name them all, but trust me when I say I've got at least three posted in my house at all times. They're all free to download, so fire up your printer and head to imom.com/printables. The iMom podcast is hosted and produced by Abby Watts, along with Susan Merrill, Megan Tigner, and Chloe Blumenthal. Edited by Isaiah Gunther.